Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 204 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me again today on the show. We've got lots of information for you. Wilson and I attended the Conservative Party of Canada Policy Convention just this past weekend in Calgary, Alberta. Lots of interesting things to share with you about that. We've got the latest numbers for the Liberal Party firearm confiscation program. Those are a little interesting. We'll do a little bit of analysis on that. As well, police, provinces, and territories all lining up against the federal government for their confiscation program. That's encouraging. We've got some new rallies to announce as well, and how you can be a part of them, and an update on our big project. All that and more CCFR Radio starts right now.
Thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers Chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR Radio Podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com.
CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com. All right, we are back. Now, I've got a couple of things to go over with you before I bring Wilson on. And primarily, the most important thing I want to share with you is the status update on our huge project. So I have not made a name for this. I had Operation Pitchfork was the last cool one, which just morphed because the election was called in the middle of it, morphed into the election project, right? But this time, I have not made a name for this project, but I've been threatening you with this huge project for a number of weeks now. And I've been working desperately to get it done. Now, it's not done, so I can't give you the update today. And the reason for that is I have not personally finished the tasks that I had to do in order for me to give to other people to complete this. So, and the reason for that, to be honest with you, is kind of how it works. Let me explain it this way. How it works at the CCFR is we have a nationally broadcast television show and we have this podcast that you're watching right now. Well, that stuff, I do 90% of that work every 2 weeks. There's 3 days and it takes about 3 days, just shy of 3 days, depending on how much content there is, how much B-roll, whether there's video clips, stuff like that, right? So I do these things myself. So from the last podcast, whenever you see the podcast coming out on a Thursday, that means I worked on it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. When you see me upload it early, like on Wednesday, that means I probably started working on Monday. So I love that, right? When I'm working on a Monday, then there's no pressure. If it goes too long and I'm interrupted as I am, all of those days I get interrupted with other stuff for the CCFR, whether it's media interviews, management stuff, you know, you name it, right? That interrupts and then it'll take a full 3 days. So anyway, last time I was working on Thursday. So I was kind of late with all of it. Got all of it out. Then I worked on this big project for Friday, a little bit on Saturday. Then I had some other things to do and then get ready on Sunday to travel. Because on the Monday, I traveled to Alberta for a couple of meetings. So that was Tuesday and Wednesday. Wednesday night, Wilson flies in for us to attend the CPC convention for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I picked up the bug, whatever, that was floating around there. I started feeling crappy on the flight home, which was Sunday, and today is Tuesday. So I've been desperately trying to get this project done, but I just have not been able to do it. So when I was away in Calgary, I was able to get one of the biggest tasks completed and then sent it. So it was content related, right? So now you're getting a little bit of foreshadowing of what this project is. I sent that off to have this piece of video made, and the video work was great, but the voiceover wasn't where I wanted it to be. And then the content wasn't just, the script just wasn't, I'm like, rather than to push forward and try to meet the deadline with something that didn't really realize the vision, right? Because when you're doing a project, I don't get too into this. I'm sure you guys are bored of this conversation already,
But if you're going to put something out and you're going to put, you know, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 behind it, because you only have so many projects like that that you can do, right? Because we're still a small group, even though we're well supported. You want it to, you want the content to be such that you have, you're giving yourself the best chance of it having an impact. Because that's what we're doing here. We're just trying to save our guns. We're trying to do everything we possibly can under this Liberal government to save them. And so everything we do, I want it to be the best it possibly could be. So anyway, long story short, I was just like, this is falling short. I'd rather push this because we aren't in an election right now. I do have the time. I'm going to push it for another week or two so that I can get it done the way that I want it, I guess you could say. So that when I watch this piece of content, I'm like, yeah, that's going to change some minds, right? That's what I'm trying to do. So anyway, long story short, long story long as usual, sorry. It's my fault that the project isn't out, but hopefully I'll have a little bit more time once I'm done the podcast and the TV show and some other things that I have to do. I will hopefully have enough time to get working on it again and get it out before the next podcast. So my apologies, it will be late. All right, let's move on. Okay, I have to tell you about some shows because it's important. We are trying to keep our community alive, obviously, despite everything the Liberals are trying to do to us. So some of the shows that you can find the CCFR at are the Ontario Almonte Gun Show, February 7th. So that's February 7th. That's this weekend, man. The Calgary Boat and Outdoor Show on February 20th weekend. I think we'll have the laser range there too. Ontario Woodstock Gun Show, February 15th. The Hyacinth show, and that will be on February 20th in Quebec. We will have the laser range there too, I think. Red Deer Sports and Outdoors Show on the 27th, February 27th. BC Sports and Wilderness Show, March 6th weekend. We'll have the laser range there. The BC Outdoors Show, March 13th weekend. We will have the laser range there. Grand Prairie, Alberta Hunt Mania. March 13th to 15th, the CCFR will be there. Toronto Sportsman Show. That's the big one. March 19th, laser range there as well. Edmonton's Boat and Sportsman Show on March 19th weekend. You can check out the CCFR there. I think we're having a laser range there too as well, but I'm not sure. We have four of them and I know they're circulating around, but I'm not running any of these shows. So I'm doing the best I can here. And the Historical Arms Collector Show in Chilliwack, beautiful Chilliwack, British Columbia, on March 19th weekend. So check out those shows, support your community. Let's keep it alive. Despite what these people are doing, we have no choice. We just got to keep fighting to win. Okay, so that's the show list. And then It's Raining Guns. So the response to our It's Raining Guns contest has been fantastic. Thanks everyone for donating $20 or multiples of $20 to the CCFR to fund this big project that I've been yapping about, but I can't reveal yet. So my apologies for that. But we're using this contest to fund that. So donate $20 to the CCFR. You get one free entry into the contest. We're giving away 100 guns. I was on social media just a little while ago and people were like, well, they haven't even released the list of the guns. And it's like, well, no, man, they're donated guns. And we don't even know what all the guns are. We have commitments with people who said, I will provide you with, like Odell Engineering, for example, they're going to provide us with 20 guns. We just don't know what guns they are. Sterling Defense, J.R. Cox, 40 guns. I know that those are pump action shotguns, magazine fed pump action shotguns. Loberg Echter, right? The CCFR's general counsel. They're donating 10 guns. I get to pick those at a certain price point. So those are going to be overwhelmingly semi-auto 22s. So probably Ruger 10/22s, that kind of thing. Right? We have a number of different people donating guns. Now, as I said before, and I want to make sure that everybody hears it because people are like, well, we don't even know what kinds of guns these are. And I'm just like, well, we're giving away 100 guns, man, donated guns. So yeah, I don't have a list, nor would I sit and go through the list of every single model of every gun. Just know that these are not going to be expensive rifles, despite the fact that we asked people to donate guns and not to make them expensive so that it wasn't too much of a burden. We'd rather have more guns to give away to get to that 100, which I think we're at 93 now or something like that. A few people have said, no, I'm giving you guys this gun, like a couple $1,000 rifle. So there are a couple of those in there, but the majority of them are going to be anywhere from $400 to $900 guns. Okay. Now you know exactly what that is. So hopefully people are enticed by the fact that they got 100 chances to win a gun. So anyway, that's the deal there. So that contest is going to close May 1st. So May 1st, 2026, 6 years after the initial ban. And then I will do the draw all on one big long video. And I'm thinking, like, if it takes me 1 minute to do each draws, it's a 100-minute video. But anyway, it should be fun because you'll have all these chances to win. Okay. I had some other stuff I was going to go through, but I think it's trivial compared to what Tracy and I have to talk about. So I'm going to leave it off here and I will see you in a few minutes in the outro. All right, we're back, and via the internet, we have Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
There it is. How you doing, Giltaka?
I'm okay, man. I picked up that virus that was floating around the Conservative Party of Canada convention in Calgary this last week, so.
I think I'm getting it, too. I feel like there's a pair of hot, fuzzy socks lodged in my lungs, so, yeah.
Okay, well, that's a strange way to describe that symptom. Fuzzy socks in my lungs.
It does feel like that, though.
Yeah. So anyway, we've got a lot of stuff to cover, so we'll get right to it. The most important news, I think, for conservatives around the country, especially as it applies to an upcoming election, if one were to take place this spring, was the confidence vote, basically, of Pierre Poilievre.
Yeah, that's right. So thousands of conservatives descended upon Calgary, Alberta. Beautiful convention center, really well organized. I think there was something like 2,700 odd delegates, which is really cool. And of course, they put Pierre Poilievre's leadership to the test, and he just sailed to victory with an 87.4% approval rate. And of course, that was voted on by delegates at the convention. So yeah, huge win.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. And it's, and I mean, I think we're going to get into all this, but just as a bit of a foreshadowing, a little indicator of what we're going to talk about in a bit, it's, you know, the conservative movement in Canada is extremely strong, although we are more and more divided. And I think we're going to break into a bit of an analysis about that. But one of the most important things to happen was for Pierre Poilievre to have a really clear mandate to stay on as leader, especially now.
Yes.
God forbid there's an election called in the spring and, you know, we're going through a leadership race, and I wouldn't put it past the Liberals to do that, because I wouldn't put almost anything past these people. But anyway, so that's good. And I think one of the things to consider is Harper didn't have this level of support back in the day before he became prime minister.
Yeah, that's right. So he had lost an election. And of course, that automatically triggers a leadership review in, you know, in guidance with the party policy. And he ended up winning that confidence vote with 84% and went on to win the next election. And of course, as we all know, be the prime minister for 10 years. So, you know, sometimes it's, you have to take a little step back before you take a big leap forward. And hopefully that's where we're at.
Yeah, I hope so too. Before we break into kind of the, excuse me, uncomfortable conversation that we need to have, there was a really great policy that ended up getting passed at convention regarding self-defense or defense of property.
Yeah, that's right. So delegates referred to this as the Castle Law policy. And there's a whole bunch of different policies and stuff debated. But this one, I think, passed with the highest approval rating of 91.02% of delegates voted for it. And I'll just read it. It's very short. A conservative government will amend the criminal code to presume any force, including lethal force, is reasonable when used to defend against an uninvited intruder in one's home. Canadians protecting themselves, their families, or their property in their home should not face prosecution for acting decisively against intruders. So they're calling it the Castle Law policy, but it is directly in line with Poilievre's policy that he's calling the Stand Your Ground law. So, yeah, that is official party policy now. The leaders already adopted it. And yeah, it's just, to me, I guess it's a bad sign of where we are as a society that a conversation that would have been not politically correct at all, not, you know, we would have been called extremist for even discussing this 6 or 7 short years ago, is now completely mainstream, and not just with conservatives, but with Canadians all across the nation. So Yeah, there we are.
Yeah, I mean, remember in, what was it? Was it 2013 or 2014 when Harper implied, like just implied that firearms, you know, represented some layer of security when, you know, people in rural areas where they're a long ways from police assistance. And I mean, it was the mainstream media's heads were blowing off their shoulders from that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, you got to bear in mind that these people, you know, they're very insulated from the reality of life elsewhere. But even even so, like they, I think a lot of people agreed with the media because it was just really never something that we had to worry that much about in Canada. In fact, I think I may have said this on another podcast. Back in those days, I was looking for examples of armed home invasions in Canada to say, hey, you know, this is reasonable. We were probably forming our policies or something like this in the beginning of the CCFR. And there wasn't very many. And I'm like, I don't know if this is going to help my argument because it is quite rare that people are killed by home invasions on a random random occurrence. And now it's like a couple times a month that there's there's tons of examples of that kind of stuff. Now, one of the things that I wanted to do, and I think we're going to try to make it as brief as possible and just kind of get the point across, because it's really important that that people understand. One of the things that we've been seeing lately, we saw it at convention. So I'm going to break this up so it's efficient. First thing, there were a couple of policies that didn't get passed. And it's not liberals online or NDP supporters online that are screaming and yelling about these policies. It's actually conservatives, policies that don't pass, that they think the concept of the policy should have passed, but it wasn't worded properly. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about how policies get passed and why they get defeated?
Yeah, so I actually do a lot of work with my EDA. As you know, I'm the local EDA president, and we did an extensive, like, 6-hour crawl through all these policies. And I have a great example of when this came back to bite conservatives in the butt, so to speak. You'll remember a few conventions ago, there was an environmental policy that the conservatives had put forward. And, you know, liberals were always beating up conservatives, saying, oh, they don't care about the environment. They don't believe in climate change. So the policy opened up with a very simple statement that conservatives believe climate change is real. And then it went on to list, I think, 3 or 4 different measures that they would support to combat that. And one of them was controversial. And there was some debate back and forth on the floor of the convention policy room. And in any event, there was a little poison pill in there that would have held the conservatives to something they didn't believe in. So the policy was defeated. Well, the liberal mainstream media took it upon themselves to say, oh, the conservatives don't believe climate change is real, because that was the opening statement of their policy and they defeated it. So the problem is, and I read this all the time because the words you use have to be very intentional and deliberate. But if your policy is worded wrong at all, or there's something, you know, a little off with it, and therefore it can't be passed, the problem is it doesn't mean that conservatives didn't support the intent of the policy. You know, there was some stuff about protecting kids and whatever. Conservatives support that. But because there was something wrong or something just a little bit off with one of the words in the policy, it's defeated, because otherwise we're stuck with it. And that's used against, like, it would be a lot easier if you could do an amendment to a policy at that moment. But the problem is that the party constitution doesn't allow it. So that's something I would almost look at changing, is to be able to, you know, implement a small amendment to a policy proposal that doesn't change or interfere or impact the intent or the intent of the policy, but could possibly fix one of those wording errors. So, yeah, it's sort of devolved online into this, you know, conservatives this, conservatives that, and conservatives being upset because a certain policy didn't pass, and they're not fully understanding how delicate and technical the language has to be in this stuff. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a mess. I wish there was a way to fix that. It's hard because delegates, of course, have opportunity before the convention to go through and make any changes or whatever. But once it's brought to the floor, there may be something that someone else saw, there's a lot of policy experts there that maybe you didn't pick up on. It's like, oh yeah, I didn't really think of that. Yeah, that's not great. We'll be stuck with that. And so then it's defeated and you're blamed for not supporting the intent. So yeah, it's a bit complex, but yeah, it's also very controversial. So,
well, this is the thing. And so I think the point of us bringing that up is that for one, there are conservatives within the conservative, you know, mindset in Canada that are bigger enemies to the conservative movement than the liberals are.
Oh,
so
yeah.
if I'm going to not beat around the bush. And so I've seen a lot of that. And it's like, man, what's reality versus your fantasy? Your fantasy is you want to turn against your own side, bite everybody, have the liberals win again, and then be like, poor me, the conservatives could have never won. Maybe it's we couldn't have won because of Pierre Poilievre. He wasn't the guy. Like, just, man, people got to stop punching themselves in the face and then complaining, you know, that their nose is broken.
That they're beat up.
Right? Yeah. So I just,
yeah.
And then the other thing I wanted to mention, kind of along the same vein, was this blackpilling. And I see it a lot. I see it everywhere, right? It's like, well, you know what? It's a uni party and Poilievre's not going to do anything. And he's like, it's like, well, again, there's this black pill fantasy and then there's reality. So I just want to help everyone maybe try to differentiate the two. So the reality, the actual truth is you have no idea what Pierre Poilievre is going to do. You have no idea at all because he's never been in power. He's never been prime minister. You don't have any idea whatsoever with what the conservatives are going to do if they get into office, because they haven't been in office for 10 and a half years. And this is a different group of people, largely different group of people, and a completely different leader. So, and I'm not stumping for Poilievre or the conservatives in what I'm saying right now. I'm just saying that you don't know that. Now,
right.
You want to reel that back, look at your situation. Your situation right now is, if the liberals get in again, forget it. Like, just forget it.
Yeah.
You know? And now if somehow we can unite and stop fighting amongst ourselves, remember the liberals are sitting at the sidelines going, this is awesome. We just kind of float the idea that Poilievre's not the guy and look at them destroying themselves.
Yes.
But, you know, I will tell you, and let me be honest with my kind of viewpoint of this. I'm going to keep working until we get a conservative government. Hopefully it's this time. I don't know if I'm going to be in the fight after that, but we'll see. But I'm going to stay in, get a conservative government. If nothing changes, if they are the unit party, then I'll probably just disappear into the wilderness and leave it as it is. So, and let the system collapse or whatever the black pill people like to say. But it's not that time. You cannot disengage from your side or start fighting amongst yourselves and then wonder why the liberals continue to win. The big, and you know, again, I will do like I normally do. Sorry for going on and on, but this is really important. Liberals are typically followers. Liberals typically are soft-minded. So it's very easy to lead them. Anything goes, man. Look at the craziness that these people spout. It's not even connected to reality. But those are what the supporters are like. They'll literally believe and follow anything. And that's why they win. Conservatives are not followers by nature. They're independent. They strike out on their own. They want to live their own lives and look after themselves. Well, the problem is we suffer from unity problems. And I see it nowhere more than I see it in Alberta right now. So there's a lot of people in Alberta that have taken this separatist thing. And I don't blame them. It's funny because, this is not a conversation the mainstream media ever wants to have. It's like, why are Albertans angry? Well, they have good reason to be angry. But people in Alberta, a lot of people have put all of their eggs in one basket. They're like, I bet it all on separation, on independence. And you know what? I'm just going to sit back here and smack talk conservatives because I won't have to worry about it anyway. And what I said to some people in the separatist movement before is, be really careful about that. I know that it makes you feel good to say that everyone is stupid that doesn't agree with us, but be careful, because if they push back too hard or pick on conservatives too much, they'll end up with Nenshi as a premier. Or if they keep doing what they're doing and demoralize conservatives across the country, the liberals will win a supermajority because that's how they're polling right now. So
yeah,
I all I want to say, and I, you know, I hesitate to tell people what to think because I don't think anyone should have to tell each other what to think. We should all come up with ideas on our own. But holy smokes, man, if you are working against unity, you're literally working to help the liberals stay in power forever. And if that's your goal, just be transparent about it. But for me, we have to pull together. We got to stop that stuff. You know, I'm just as frustrated. I know you are, Wilson, as everybody else, and just as, you know, disappointed and discouraged, all the rest of that stuff. But that is not going to give us a win. And fighting with our own side and our own people is not going to give us a win. So anyway, it's really important that people think about that. That's one thing I've seen online like crazy. It's like, don't sabotage yourself and then complain that the liberals won again and that there's no guns and that these crazy policies keep getting enacted. You have to be a force for unity, not a force for division.
Well, and I think too, for me, it's these bizarre purity tests that we put each other through, right? I look at the left, you know, you've got liberals of all types, right? There's all kinds of different liberals, just like there's all kinds of different conservatives. But they don't need to agree on everything. As long as they have something that binds them, and sometimes that is just beating conservatives is enough, right? Even if they don't agree on all the policies, but they band together, they stick together, and they win. They're not publicly fighting. They're not doing all this crazy stuff. Conservatives, it's like, if you're not 100% with me, then you're against me. And that's a ridiculous way to do things. So, you know, I sitting here from my spot in Ottawa, right? I live in the East. I am in no place to talk to Albertans or Westerners about how they feel about separation. And they are rightfully upset, right? They have all the justification for that. But at the same time, don't think that the rest of conservatives around the country are now your enemy because we're stuck in Confederation, right? Like we're just bad at sticking together. So I think these purity tests are not not helpful. And the liberals don't have to campaign against us when we campaign against ourselves.
Right?
Yes,
unfortunately. So, you know, to wind that up, if you're someone who's supporting independence in Alberta or someone who's supporting Alberta independence from outside of Alberta, just understand that you can do two things. You can vote for independence and you can vote for the conservatives, you know, in a federal election, and you can help keep conservatives together to make sure that if there is an election this spring, which it looks like there's going to be, and especially with polling like this, I'd be surprised that there's not an election called in the next week. If that happens, you know, if you're one of these people fueling that division, then if that happens and the liberals get a supermajority, that's a direct result of spreading disunity within the conservative community in Canada. Because in the last election, we didn't lose by much. So all it takes is for people to spread division in our community. And that's going to be enough to give the, especially with the NDP, not looking like they're going to make any gains at all. These people are their own worst enemy. They're worse than conservatives, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, you can be a Westerner and work on that movement at the same time that, like, you're likely to get a federal election before any kind of separatist thing actually came to fruition, right?
Yeah.
So you can still vote with the rest of your community across the country on this issue while you're working on that. I'm not saying anything one way or the other because I'm in no position to do that from the Arctic tundra of Ontario. But I would like to see us just actually, instead of yelling at each other and, you know, all this crazy talk online, just talk to each other. I mean, you know, most conservatives are rational people, right? So,
All right.
Yes.
Beat that to death. Latest numbers from the firearm confiscation program of the feds, they released the number of firearms that were registered into this portal in the first week, and but no numbers in the second week. Anyway, give us the rundown on that.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because public safety was very excited to come out after the end of week one of the assault-style firearms compensation program, which is just basically a dirty gun grab. And they had 22,251 individual firearms registered into this portal. Now, a lot of people have said, oh, those are probably mostly from retailers. No, this is directly and very specifically just individual people. So that's the number of firearms, not the number of people that participated. So that's bigger than I would have liked. Of course, I would like that number to be zero. However, considering that there's probably somewhere upwards of 2 million firearms impacted by these bans, that's a relatively small number. Now, having said all that, we are well past the end of week two of that same program, and yet there's no update from public safety. I thought maybe, you know, they would continue to give us these weekly updates, but mum's the word. So I like to think that, and I think history shows us that when they think they've got good news, they're happy to put it out there. And of course, that first week, anybody who was going to participate, who wanted to do that and had their mind already made up, would have done it then. So week two, we have no numbers. We have no idea what's going on. But yeah, I'm over here in Ontario holding the line. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. So I think there's a number of things to talk about, to address here. For one, that's an interesting number, right? Because there's 126,000 and change restricted firearms that are registered. Yes. So you would think that that number would have started at 126,000 and then grown from there. But that number that represents like 1% of the firearms in circulation. So, I have my own feelings about that. I think it was probably people that really needed the money and they're like, I need this money. I'm starving here. I'm at the food bank and I've got these rifles or this rifle that's now prohibited that I get paid for. And I totally get that. And then I think you probably also have some older people that are like, oh, this is just, you know, this isn't worth the hassle. I'll just turn it in and it's fine. Right. And I've said, you've said that you're not participating and that's your choice. And then, you know, our official position is people need to make their own decision because
that's right.
Yeah. I'm not in your life. I'm not running your life. I'm not going to go hungry if you have no money. You know, that's the thing, right? So it's really difficult to tell other people what they should be doing and, or they're a cuck if they don't do what you've decided to do, right?
Yeah.
Again, that division thing. But I am happy to see that those numbers are very low. It shows, I think it illustrates the appetite for participating in this confiscation program. And it's also probably at the level that I would have guessed, right? That very few people, only people that really need the money or whatever, people that were highly motivated would participate, but en masse people wouldn't. So I'm interested to see what the numbers are for the next couple of weeks.
Well, and I just want to remind everybody too, that, you know, as the minister has told us, participation in this compensation Hunger Games program is voluntary. Yeah. Complying with the law is not. But as it stands now, you have until at least the end of October. You're protected by that amnesty, so you do not have to participate in it. And I know a lot of people are asking me, well, if you're in Quebec, don't you have to participate? If you have previously restricted, therefore registered firearms, don't you have to participate? No, you don't. I mean, I own previously restricted, registered firearms. I'm going to hold out and see. A lot of things can happen between now and the end of October. And I don't want to have already submitted myself to this, you know, subjected myself to this. So I'm just going to hold off and hopefully something changes. We're working like dogs over here to help that along. But yeah, I find it interesting that we don't have another weekly update.
Yeah. Well, it's probably because there's very little uptake, but
yes, anyways. It's too embarrassing to put out.
Yeah. Well, as it applies to liberals, they just say that bad news is good news. They're the biggest gaslighters that ever held power in this country. But anyway, okay. So some good news and bad news. So more police forces have come out. There are dozens of them now. And of course you have provinces and territories. Over half in Canada have said they will not participate. They will not help the feds in confiscating firearms from licensed gun owners.
Yeah, that's right. So I think the list of who wants to help the feds is much shorter than the list of who doesn't. So we've had law enforcement agencies, particularly in Ontario, all across the province, coming out against us, some of the really big police forces. And that's great. We did have news this morning at time of recording this, that Halifax Regional Police Services has signed a deal with the feds, and they will be helping them grab guns from their most law-abiding vetted citizens. So I don't know. And that's interesting to me because that goes against what the premier of Nova Scotia had suggested to law enforcement agencies. So I guess they're just going to throw that advice out the window and go for it. But you have to remember that these deals that they're signing are combined with some pretty substantial funding, you know, monetary promises. So, yeah. Anyway, so that part's bad. So we'll see what happens. Of course, that's far down the road. I have no idea how they're. I had a reporter contact me this morning wanting to know more about these mobile collection units that they're talking about. How are they actually going to grab the guns? Because at this point, the entire program is nothing more than a website. That's all that exists for it. Of course, none of that information has come forward, but the jurisdictions with law enforcement willing to help them, of course, it'll be much easier there because the cops who would normally be out protecting the citizens of their city or town, you know, working the streets, keeping the criminals at bay and the community safe will instead be redirected to focusing on picking up guns from people like you and I.
Yeah, well, Grab Gary, as they say in the CCFR's official rap video. They're waving around borrowed money, right? Deficit spending.
Yeah.
And some of these jurisdictions are like, yeah, I'll take $12 million like Quebec did, or I'll take, you know, $5 million from my department. It's all pretty dirty. Anyway, people are not done yet, right? Gun owners are not whipped. We certainly aren't. So we've got a couple of rallies coming up. We've got one in Sudbury and then one in Quebec. Why don't you tell us about those real quick?
Yeah, that's right. So next week, actually, Thursday, February 12th at 6 p.m. in Sudbury, there is a rally against the gun grab. This will be hosted by Conservative MP Jim Belanger. He's the local MP up there. Shadow critic for hunting, fishing, and conservation, Blaine Culkins, will be attending. I'm going to go up there too. We're going to be giving away a gun, which is kind of fun. So there's, you know, you don't have to buy any tickets or anything like that. It's just everybody who shows up will be entered free of charge into a draw. So that encourages people to get up and get out. I know a lot of the gun clubs are already organizing their people. Big shout out to Green Hill. They've been working on that. So that is Thursday, February 12th, next week, 6 p.m. Be there or be square. I will be there too with some of our CCFR team. And then Saturday, February 28th, there is a massive rally in Quebec City. This will be out in front of the legislature. It starts at 10 a.m. and it's running all day. And this is growing into sort of, this happens, right? Quebecers are really, really awesome people. They have a terrible government and their police force is awful. However, there's a huge number of gun owners in Quebec and they're really good people. And we need to stand with them. So there's buses going from every nook and cranny. I've seen on Facebook, I've seen ads talking about like literally 10,000 people arriving. So we'll see. We'll see how it blows up. But I know they've had to rent toilets and, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff involved in this. They've got a DJ. Like, I don't know. It's kind of turning into a really big event. So I'm looking forward to that. I will be there. So that one for your calendar is Saturday, February 28th. Starts at 10 a.m., runs all day. We will also be there for that. So, yeah, really big turnout expected.
Awesome. Well,
yeah,
the battle rages on, and we're down, but we're not out. And as you said, a lot can happen between now and October. So,
yeah,
if there's an election, I would love to see all of us pull together and get a conservative party government, even if it was a minority government, because that would stop the bleeding.
Yes, it was.
So anyway.
Yeah, right. I mean, crazier things have happened, right? So
They have. And, you know, we've been at it a little while. I don't want to keep it going too long. But one of the other observations we both had at the CPC, I just popped into my head, and it's probably important to let people know, because there are reasons to be hopeful. One of the trends that we saw at this convention was the number of young people showing up at the Conservative Party of Canada convention, which is not cheap to attend. And there was a lot of young people there.
Yeah. And I mean, you know me, I'm a political junkie, right? I've been going to these things forever and a day. And this is by far not my first convention. And normally these things are a little bit of a sea of blue hair, right? Like it's a bunch of blue hairs there. And this was really interesting because the youth delegation at this convention was like nothing I've ever seen before. They do get a discount on their tickets and some EDAs actually cover it for their youth, which is really helpful. We had a youth delegate from my EDA who went and we offered to help him. And he said, no, he has a part-time job after school and he had saved up money and he went on his own. So yeah, really proud of him. But yeah, just the young people are flocking to this party. And that sort of lines up with the polling because of course the conservatives are way ahead with young people right now. And the liberals are polling well with the boomers. But yeah, I think it's positive. They're voting for their future, right? So we have to too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just interesting. Yeah. You know, when Justin Trudeau first ran in, you know, 2015, he was like, oh, he's so cool and he's this and that. And they put him, you know, they put his picture on Vogue magazine and all this crap. Yeah. And it's like, oh, the leader for young people, probably because he was going to legalize marijuana, right? And then after 10 and a half years, I mean, these people devastated the economy and basically stole the Canadian dream that everyone had expected their whole lives, right? That was commonplace for us. And now the fresh new leader is Pierre Poilievre and kids are flocking to him. And just purely out of self-preservation, for God's sake. But anyway, I hope that continues. Yeah. And if we ever get another shot in the next, you know, whatever, couple of months at an election, people need to pay attention to millennials and Gen Zs and talk to them about their future. You know, tell them about deficit spending and how it's destroyed the value of their work and all the rest of that stuff, because I think that's where we're going to go to get the numbers to turn this around. So anyway, I just thought I'd mention this because there are reasons to feel like that there are things going our way. We just got to keep pushing and not get divided.
That's right. Stick together, keep pushing forward. Like, what's the other option to give in to these people? Yeah. We've said it a million times, never going to happen. I'm never giving up.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Cool. I think we've covered everything and certainly in excruciating detail. So thanks for the update, man. And I will see you next time.
All right. We'll see you then.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 204 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks, everyone, for watching and listening. Make sure you share the podcast, do all the things, and share all the stuff to all the people and whatever. You know what I'm going to say about that. All right, I only got two more things to go over with you before I let you go. I'm going to try to make it quick. Number one, it's raining guns at the CCFR. As you well know, we're giving away 100 guns, right? About $90,000 worth of guns. These are donated guns. I don't know which guns they are because they're being donated and we don't have them all yet. But there's a lot of people that stepped up and really helped the CCFR. I think we're at around 93. Wilson is handling this part of the contest. I think we're at 93, but hopefully in the next podcast, I'll have a list of everyone that's donating. And then I can tell you who's donated and how many. The types of guns, I've answered some questions on social media. The types of guns we're talking about are like 10-22s, pump action shotguns, stuff like that. These are not expensive guns. They're mid-range guns, anywhere from, I don't know, $300-$400 to $900 to $1,000, something like that. There are a couple of nice guns in there, like more expensive guns, which we asked donators not to give us, right? I'd rather give me two mid-range guns, right? So we can get to 100 rather than one expensive one. A couple of people are like, no, I'm giving this to you anyway. It's like, okay, fine. So anyway, that's the story there. So if you want to enter the contest, you can go to ccfr.ca, click the contest button, and then donate $20 or multiples. However many $20 donations you make, you get one free entry for every $20 donation into the contest. So, and we're going to, the contest goes to May 1st, 2026, 6 years after May 1st, 2020, if you remember. And then after that, I'll do one long video. If it takes me a minute to do each draw, it'll be a 100-minute video. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see how that turns out. I never done it before, so. That's all I wanted to cover with you guys, okay? Anyway, thanks so much, everyone, for your support. I will have more information one way or another for you in the next podcast. Take care. We'll see you in the next one.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.